in his letter to the Romans, Paul writes this about baptism. Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so that you will obey its evil desires. Rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And I would remind you this morning that baptism is an act of obedience. Jesus told us to go into the world and to baptize. And baptism is also an expression of faith, that Aubrey and Cole and Liam have done what John 3:16 calls upon us to do. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And believing is opening your heart and inviting Christ in to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins. And in believing, Christ has washed away their sins. And in believing, Christ gives us eternal life. But one thing more, water baptism is also an expression of commitment. As they leave these waters of baptism this morning, it is an expression of a commitment that they are going to follow Christ, that they are going to strive with all of their hearts and minds and spirits to grow in Christ and to serve him and to follow him in the church and in the world. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these children who come to these waters of baptism. We ask your blessings upon them, not only here in this moment, this special moment for them, but in the days and years to come. Watch over and keep them in your love every step of the way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Upon the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, and in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister Aubrey, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Upon the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother Cole, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. upon the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. And in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother Liam, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Just one thing more. These waters of baptism represent an invitation. They speak to you. They say, here is water. What hinders you? What keeps you from giving your heart to Christ and following Him in baptism? We invite you to come that you might know Him and the power of His presence in your life and the power of His resurrection in you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for this privilege to be a part of the lives of these children. Again, I ask for your blessing upon them day by day. Grow them as they grow in years. May they grow in faith and in their commitment to Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Another beautiful Sunday, isn't it? I love baptism Sundays. Sets the tone for the service. I want you to go ahead and stand up and wave and say hello to people you haven't seen since we can't hug. Okay. Y'all can yell louder than that. It's okay. All right. Let's join in singing Bind Us Together.
Bulletin. I'm sorry, I had all this ready and now I can't come up. celebration party for the children. We had 13 children there. Pizza, movies, candy, sugar, wild children, disco and dancing. Lots of fun. I don't know, I actually went to bed early, so I think it wore me out just as much as them. It was wonderful to see that many children coming to an event. We're really trying to grow the program, so keep them children coming, the ones that haven't been in a while, see if we can let them know the program's there and get them coming back. Prayer requests, EJ Lane has had a stroke. Be in prayer for his family and him. Is there any other prayer requests that we have, church family that we know of, that's other than on the list? All right, how about just in general, be in prayer for our country, for these wonderful children that were just baptized. Us as a church family, keep them in your prayers. As a family, just help guide them in their journey with the Lord. And what a wonderful thing for children that young to accept Christ into their life. We'll see. You got an extra song?
Yeah.
All right. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, what a wonderful day we come together to be in your house, to witness these three young people baptized in your love, with your guidance, in these baptismal waters, cleansing their soul, and just being here, watching them, being with them, celebrating the fact that they have accepted you into their life. Let us be witnesses to others, to let them see you, what you've done for us, what you continue to do for us, that you've forgiven all the wrongs that we've done in our life. As long as we accept you, be welcomed into your house. Just be with us on a daily basis. Help us to clear our hearts and let you in, not to push you out. Although we know you, we still fight and give in to the earthly temptations. But Lord, be with us and help push those earthly temptations out and to walk stronger in our journey with you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
As part of Baptist Women's Sunday next week, our children's bell choir will be performing. So parents, if you could get my little ringers here, about 20 teal, or I'll come get them in Sunday school, that would be great. And if they could all show up, because if not, it'll be the children's bell choir and Miss Sherry playing the bell. So we don't want that. Okay, let's stand and join in singing Worthy of Worship.
Thank you.
And good morning to you. What a nice looking group we have here today. So good to see you on this cool, rainy day. I'm reading from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 18. And Paul writes, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let's go to our Lord in prayer. And Father, we ask that here in this time of worship, you would search us, and you would know our hearts, that you would see if there is any wicked ways in us, and that you would lead us in the way of everlasting, in the way of righteousness. We come, Father, thanking you for the Lord Jesus, that through his love and through his sacrifice, our sins have been taken away. And we thank you, Father, for his sustaining grace day by day through all of the challenges and disappointments and valleys of life, that he goes with us. And we thank you, Father, for this church. Help us, Father, day by day to grow in our love for your church and to love her the way you love her, to give ourselves the full devotion of our hearts, that this church might be that glorious church built upon the rock of faith without spot or wrinkle, reaching out, attracting, touching the lost, the lonely, the sorrowful. And may it be, Father, to that end, may each member commit himself, herself to you anew, to be a part of that church that you are growing here. And now, Father, we pray that you would grant us courage and grant us strength for the living of these days, that in every way, Father, that we might honor you and in our words and deeds bring glory to your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Patsy. Thank you. Thessalonica was the capital city of Macedonia, and the Apostle Paul came to this city on his second missionary journey, along with Silas and Timothy, around 50 AD. And Paul preached in the synagogue there, and some of the Jews responded to Paul's message and believed. And many Greeks as well were won to the faith. But then unbelieving Jews rose up against Paul, and they created such a disturbance that Paul and Silas fled by night, and they went to Berea, and then to Athens, and then later to Corinth. And it was after that that Paul sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage this young congregation in Thessalonica. And when Timothy returned, he brought good news of their faith and loyalty to Christ. And so Paul sends this first letter to the church to express his gratitude and his joy for them, and to encourage them to stay the course in their walk with Christ. And in chapter 5, we have the conclusion of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. And in closing, he offers God's people some words of admonition and guidance and counsel in their life together. Now, I don't think that Paul's words here were necessarily addressing any specific problems in the life of the church. But rather, I think his words were intended primarily to be preventive and instructive and encouraging. And I hope that you will receive my words this morning in that same spirit as I conclude my ministry here at Tramway. We don't have time to look at everything that Paul said to the church, but let's begin with verse 13, because he tells the church, "Be at peace among yourselves." That is to say, do all that you can to maintain peace, to create peace in the fellowship of the church. Be God's agents of peace. And I would remind you that peace is not simply the absence of conflict, but it is also a spirit of harmony and unity in the life of the church. How do we bring that about? How do we foster a spirit of harmony and unity in the church? Well, Paul gives us one way in verse 15 when he says that, "See that no one pays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another." And then Paul adds, "and to everyone." That sounds a lot like the words that Jesus spoke when he told his disciples, "Love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." What does that look like, fleshed out in the life of the church? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 and 5, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Aren't you glad we don't have that? "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." And then he adds, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, And how do we foster a spirit of harmony and unity? I heard someone once say, if you mess up, fess up. You know? Once in a while, it might do somebody some good to swallow their pride and say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. If you say something or do something that's wrong or that hurts somebody, admit it, apologize. You know, that's a good rule for a marriage. That's a good rule for life together in a church. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I told you something that was wrong. I said at the time that I received an email suggesting that I had no place in the pulpit based on a prior message. That's not what the email said. I read it too hurriedly at the time. It was not intentional, but I misread it. It did not say that I had no place in the pulpit, but rather my words that day had no place. Now, whether or not I agree with that's not the point. I was wrong by a country mile in what I told you that day. And I've already apologized to the individual involved, and I'm telling you all this today to set the record straight. And also because I want to be at peace within. You can't be at peace within if you don't set it straight. And I want to be in peace without, you see. And also because I want the church to be at peace in this matter as well, moving forward. How does one foster a spirit of harmony and unity in the church? By understanding that it's everyone's responsibility. That it takes every member doing his or her part, creating a fellowship at peace with one another, and thus an atmosphere in which God can build a great church. And I think that Framway Baptist Church is on the edge of something good and great. Jeff Stripe tells the story. It was closing night of vacation Bible school. The teachers in one of the classes had missed the night before when a little boy had came to Bible school for the very first time. This little boy had only one hand. And when the teacher came back the next night, which was the last night of Bible school, she saw the little boy and she felt so sorry for him. And she became so concerned about him, she would hope that the other children hadn't made fun of him, wouldn't make fun of him. Well, she got all the children into the sanctuary for the closing program, got her children up on the stage, and without thinking, she said, all right, children, let's do what we practiced earlier in the week. Let's all build our church. Put your hands together. Here is the church. Here is the steeple. And then she stopped herself. She suddenly realized what she had done. That little boy couldn't build a church because he only had one hand. And there was a moment of awkward silence until a little girl that was seated next to that little boy held up her hand to his one hand and she said to him, here, let's build the church together. It's the only way you can do it. It's the only way you can do it. You cannot build a church separately. You can only do it together. And in your heart of hearts, you need to be saying every day, every time you gather together, here, let's build the church together. just straight as stated, that little girl understood the truth of Christian love. Christian love is when one believer reaches out to another believer to build Christ's church. God calls us to be devoted to one another, to honor one another above ourselves. Paul goes on to say in verse 16, rejoice always. Understand, says Paul, that come what may, you are Christ's people. You belong to Him forever. Thus you have a great hope to hold on to, and one that will hold you. And it is one that nothing in this world and nothing in the world to come can ever take away from you. You recall that Simon Peter reminded the church that you have an inheritance that's waiting for you. It's reserved for you. Rejoice always. And to that, Paul adds, pray without ceasing. Prayer was a priority in the life of Paul, and he wanted the church to understand that prayer is where the action is. And if you take anything away from my ministry here at Tramway Baptist Church, I want you to take that. That prayer will be where the action is. And if the church is going to move forward for Christ, it will do so as a people of prayer. That was true for the church at Thessalonica, and that will be true for Tramway Baptist Church in the months to come. As A.J. Gordon said, the greatest thing anyone can do for God and man is to pray. It is not the only thing, but it is the chief thing. The great people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, but I mean those people who take time to pray. They do not have time. It must be taken from something else. This something else is important, very important and pressing, but still less important and less pressing than prayer. And then in verse 18, Paul encourages God's people to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thanksgiving was a dynamic quality in the life of Paul and in his ministry. He preached it. He practiced it. He was thankful in all things. Paul was thankful for Christ, his Savior. He was thankful that Christ loved him, that he died on a cross for his sins, and that he rose again on the third day. The words that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, he repeated in one form or another in every letter he wrote. Indeed, Paul considered Christ his greatest possession. You remember when he wrote, I count everything but loss for the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And may I say, that's true for us as well. Even though after today, our relationship will forever be changed, we still have Him. We have not lost Him. And because of Him, we have a bond that cannot be broken, will not be broken by distance or time. And Paul was also thankful for Christ's people, the church. To the Romans he wrote, I thank my God for you all. To the Corinthians he wrote, I thank my God always concerning you. To the Ephesians, I do not cease giving thanks for you. And to the Philippians, he told them, every time I remember you, I give thanks to God. You see, Paul had a profound sense of gratitude for his fellow believers, his co-workers, those who shared with him in proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Paul realized that he could have not been the man that he was, that he could not have accomplished the work for Christ that he did without the love and support and the ministry of so many others in the church. And that's true for us. I want you to know that as pastor and people. During these past 10 years, I have known the dedication and the devotion and the sacrifice of some good and godly men and women in the service of Christ. Right here in this place. Their only agenda is that they love Christ and they loved His church. And they wanted to see this church flourish. And I want you to know, and I'm talking about these wonderful people that I've worked with on this staff, Patsy and Sherry and Travis and those in the sound. This is not my real voice. They just make me sound better up there in the sound room. But you have enriched my life and my ministry with your love and your encouragement and your support. And I want you to know this morning that I thank God for you, that He allowed us to join together for a brief while to serve Christ in this place. And I mean that with all my heart. Just one thing more. Paul was thankful for the presence of Christ who strengthened him in his life and in his ministry. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, he wrote to Timothy, who has strengthened me. And to the Philippians, he wrote, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul understood that the God who saved him and the God who had called him would not abandon him, but would sustain him day by day and all of his days to come. And he did. And I want you to know that's just as true for Tramway Baptist Church. And in the words of Brian Harbor, I want to say to you this morning, there is no problem you will ever face, no mountain you will ever have to climb, no task you will ever have to do that God will not give you the strength to accomplish it. And as you step out in faith, you will discover, as Paul did, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And I'll close with this. It's a poem that has meant so much to me through all of the years of school and ministry. Whenever I was anxious about the future. In fact, I can remember walking across a college campus. This poem was like a prayer for me, because I didn't know that first year whether I was going to make it or not. But through all the years of school and all the years of ministry, whenever I was anxious about the future, these words would reassure me and sustain me. And I hope they will provide some encouragement for you, as I know they will for me in the weeks and months to come. The poem's entitled Quietness, and it's based on Psalm 46. And here it is. Be still and know that I am God, that I who made and gave thee life will lead thy faltering steps aright, that I who see each sparrow's fall will hear and heed thy earnest call. I am God. Be still and know that I am God. When aching burdens crush thy heart, then know I formed thee for thy part and purpose in the plan I hold. Trust in God. Be still and know that I am God, who made the atom's tiny span and set it moving to my plan, that I who guide the stars above will guide and keep thee in my love. Be thou still. Let us pray together. Father, thank you for the promise to go with us. May we commit ourselves to you anew this day in these moments. And Patsy, as you play, would you pray to God? Would you make a renewed commitment to him? That you let him afresh into your life and through you to build the church here that he longs to build, as we pray. And I want to present these baptismal certificates. Aubrey and Cole and Liam, if you would come up here. Okay. Okay, which one's which, you guys? All right, see? We are so proud of you. God bless you. Okay. Good. All right, let's stand for our benediction, please. Father, we ask for your presence. We ask that your watch care over us day by day, and that you would go with us, and that we would be sensitive to your direction in our lives, every step we take, every step of the way. We ask it in Jesus' name.